because Rick TV insists on installing.
Of course.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Every time we get a break, you go back.
Now we install it in an Arizona place and take it apart and bring it down.
That's what you have. This is, you don't have an Arizona place and you did years ago.
Kind of switched to the internet.
We'll see. I'm going to try when I get back to Colorado.
We need the physical.
I'm going to try when I get back to Colorado.
I'll get it. Get your Genie and all that.
What I call her.
I haven't even switched to Genie yet. They keep sending me emails going, "You need to upgrade your equipment."
If she's still doing business,
when you get to Colorado, you know, upgrade to Genie. And then get you one of the big antennas. Not cheap, but you can actually get the antenna for about $500. If you've got a car that's big enough to bring it down.
Well, I probably do, but I have other things to bring, so I guess I'll just pay Chava the big bucks.
Yeah, Chava's charging about $1,500 for it. Fortunately, I've had mine for about 5 or 6 years.
You can buy them out of Guadalajara for $250, so I don't know what the shipping up is, but...
I get it.
I saw them on Linda Gerber has the website to order them.
And they'll deliver them?
We'll see. I haven't gone that far because I don't think it's going to happen. So.
Yeah, you want to be sure it's the one they use in Alaska and Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a 5 foot.
Yeah. I can see the one he installed at my neighbor's across the way.
Can you see beyond it?
I can, but that's because I'm up higher than she is.
We've gone from the big old ones to the small new ones, now back
to the big old ones.
The small new ones are in the States. The high definition antenna there is not big at all. It's bigger, a little bigger than the old type, which is on about 8 seconds. But it's not too big.
You know, typically, it could be maybe a little bit of a process.
I have both.
Everything.
Of course you can get it
on something that can't be accessed because of the use. You can't wait a minute on something running slow.
Yes.
It's got to be, okay, somebody's got to lock up for some reason.
Okay.
And so therefore, when you see all the things on PCs that say how to speed it up, it may be registered. So what if you say 1 second or 1 second?
You're going to sit all by yourself over there.
Right, come join us.
This is really.
Because it's getting to that.
This is also available here. It's not here anymore.
I have a lot of trade-offs. It comes up in about 5 seconds. Yeah, I mean, without the VPN, it's 5 seconds.
It's time enough to scratch yourself and look at the screen again.
If I run it with the VPN?
Yeah.
It started in 2 minutes. I followed all the recommendations.
You get your change.
And they're doing nothing.
All right.
I don't do any of their.
Would you mind? I don't bring some coffee
down. It's doing nothing.
No, yeah, it does.
Tell me that you can't make a connection.
I think there is something.
A little bit. But I can't figure out how to get rid of it.
I don't use Quick.
Let's see if it's hot first.
But I have, since I...
You can sit
US
here. I don't know if you need to double up.
Not cold. Business taxes.
Kind of warm.
Kind of warm.
Mm-hmm. I cut out 5 taxes just by saying, okay, I'm not having a website in my.
Chester, you want to?
I'm just not doing this.
Oh, she'll be along. She'll be along.
Okay, it's not very hard.
You got to push the button.
Oh, it helps.
Less is better. It is true.
Maybe it's harder than it looks.
Is there anything that you have cleaned out of your life in the past that you wish you hadn't?
Occasionally,
I often think about scrapbooking type stuff that we don't do anymore because everything's digital. I always get concerned that I might throw something out that will have sentimental value. Yeah, like a kid's reward or something like that.
Oh, God.
I don't throw any stuff away. So
I had boxes of
stuff that the kids had made in school or the awards that they had worn that they didn't want.
Right.
Little trophies and ribbons.
I've been in a number of your folks' houses, and some of you just have grand collections of things that each thing you can touch like a token, and it has a story and it matters.
Right.
And I find myself throwing stuff out
wondering if later I'm going to wish I had that on a shelf later. Right. Talking to a grandchild, right?
Yeah. In my case, it's part of something. Okay. More tools, a repair part thing that I don't know what the good
my old plasma is
now. Yeah. I'm always surprised. Set on the street. Relatively soon, if I do need it, I'm going, oh, whoops. But then on the other hand, that's the probably 1% of the stuff crud like that I throw out.
Our parents' generation, too, I think came up through depression or post-depression years.
Well, it's winding
down. And they saved everything. So we've all been through the cleaning out process. Well, I don't want to do that to my kids. I just don't.
Thank
you. Yeah. Estoy bien en este momento.
En este momento.
If they live through the depression,
pero ellos dicen que este no está muy caliente.
They never ya
acabo de cambiar. Ah, muy bien.
No cierra bien ni sale. Y sale lo caliente.
Es por eso. Tienes que. Ajá, sí.
No guarda lo caliente.
Sí.
Lo caliente. No.
Hey, we're streaming in case anybody's interested. We've started our meeting.
Start talking.
Yeah, whether any of you knew it or not, we have started our meeting.
What are we called?
We are the San Carlos Computer Club.
And
what's left? That's right. We are called the Ever Shrinking Meeting. And I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and we meet here every Tuesday morning to discuss the tech topics of the day, fill our palates with something hopefully desirable in the tech world. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Hunky dory.
Yep.
And we've been having a casual conversation since I walked in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sounding vague because there's one last change I'm trying to make, and I apparently don't know how to make it. I'm watching myself fail at the change every time I go after it.
You need
I got it. Yeah, finally got it. I need a whole support team with me. I like this weather. It's hard to think about leaving when the weather's like this.
I'm going everyone perfect. Leaves. This is the best time of year.
It's 3 inches of snow in Colorado right
now. Well,
April,
I would have to have a whole different plan if I was going into that.
I made my hotel reservations to leave on the 21st, and then my neighbor texted me and says, yeah, we have 3 inches of snow on the
Yes.
Great. Hopefully it's done by the 21st.
Canadians have all left.
Yeah.
Time to go back.
We have some leaving today.
Oh, do we?
Well, they lose their health insurance.
Are any of them up there where they're having the terrible flooding?
Where are they having terrible flooding?
In Canada.
Oh, oh, wow.
Well, anywhere that lots of snow melts.
Some dam broke.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Quebec, I think.
Oh, in Quebec?
Wow.
Maybe, yeah.
It must be an earth dam.
I don't know. I just saw it on the news here.
So did anyone try signing up for Netflix Mexico to test if they really get all the
I just haven't done that yet.
I thought we determined that worked, though.
Yes,
somebody was
did.
Using that.
We said it should work.
Yeah. Buying a Netflix or signing up for your Netflix subscription down here at a discounted rate because you're in Mexico and then using it in the United States.
And if you already have one, you have to just recreate.
Costco works the same way. Cards cheaper here than the States.
Exactly.
You use it up there.
Yeah. How do you sign up for
it?
Have
to drive sure on the ceiling.
Netflix?
Netflix.com.
Yeah, Netflix.com. I mean, it will geolocate you to Mexico.
Okay, so without the VPN.
Yeah.
And it says, do you want to start your free week's trial or month's trial or whatever they're giving at the time?
Well, like always, I brought a couple of topics, but nobody has any questions. That's the problem when our group gets smaller. We're really reliant on people. What's your question?
How can I make my internet go faster? It was 1.9.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I was really...
Are you in Loma del Mar?
I am.
Yeah.
So you could move.
I could.
That would do it.
The street is three.
You could. It's been the most effective method to get more internet if you're living in Loma Bomar.
So I'm going to go see if I really think it's my bonum because Phyllis across the street gets three.
Yeah, well, the problem in Loma del Mar is the infrastructure, and so her phone line could be in great condition, and yours could be in lousy condition.
Yeah, but I'm in the new section, so we have the same.
The same what?
I'm right across the street in the estate.
But I don't think any of those phone lines were professionally installed. I think
actually, yes, we had to have ours. We paid to have ours installed. MM Street.
Well, you know what you could do? You could unplug your modem, bring it over to her place and plug it in and see if you get the same experience. Because you should get one or less. You should get what you're getting right now, if it's actually the modem's fault.
Actually, I was going to go and see if they would just give me a new modem.
No,
Or easier, better yet, you could get her Wi-Fi password and just stay home.
I can't see it.
There you go. And cancel yours.
I can't see her.
Well, that's where you need a range extender. If you had a range extender, you could stick it in your window pointing at her house and rebroadcast her network in your house.
Great.
And in some cases, it's worth paying them for the do it.
Well, you know what happens.
My phone's not scratchy, and my Wi-Fi went.
Well, if your phone's scratchy, it's the wiring. It's the wiring. Not the modem.
Yeah, it's but your phone. It's you're talking about your Telmex line got scratchy.
Yeah,
And so I reported that too, and now it's clear.
But you still don't have internet. Yeah. That's odd.
I have internet.
You have 1.5 internet. You know what happens when you start sharing your neighbor that has three? You both have 1.5.
Okay. Back to the problem. If your phone is scratchy at all, that's a wiring problem, pure and simple. And the easiest thing is to go out to the point of where it enters your house. Mm-hmm. Disconnect everything but one thing you want. And try it to find, because it could be just a connection point anywhere in your house.
Well, this is all good information, except that problem's been resolved.
Yeah.
When she reported the scratchy phone, they fixed it.
In front of
but she still only has 1.5 internet. Yeah. And the way internet's delivered through DSL is that you have two signals coming down the same line. So it's possible that the line could have a problem. It's also possible for you to have perfect audio and have lousy internet. Mm-hmm. It's also possible for you to have perfect internet and no audio.
Right.
Yeah. Just because of the technology.
That's also possible to move and get fiber optic.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have fiber optics. Well, I'm just damn lucky. I don't have fiber optics. I'm paying for 10 and getting 19.
That's awesome.
And steady. You
know, steady. That's great.
I unplugged everything, pulled the card out, waited 15 minutes. Now I've got it all.
Oh, wow.
Try it.
I will.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Something like that.
On DirecTV, when you pulled up a menu, it was saying nothing.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Channel after channel after channel.
All right.
Well, I just unplugged everything, pulled the card out. Had a bite to eat, went back, plugged it all in. Now I got it all.
That actually works. Yeah. And you come back in from being gone all summer, do that. And
Well, there's a reset button on there, too.
But this works better than the
This
reset
worked
button.
Better than the reset. I tried
Mine
reset.
Mine came back on without me doing anything. I couldn't believe it.
Because they were listening to our conversation
maybe
last week.
So all of a sudden, it was like
there's
a day after
China.
Last
yeah.
like Wednesday or Thursday of last week after we talked about that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, mine came back on. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, now we're getting it all.
You
great.
Didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Didn't
Try
do
it.
A thing except turn it back on.
Yeah. It used to be you'd have to call them.
Yeah.
And they bump you.
And you can actually do that online
but
now.
Disconnect everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
And pull the card out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just go
a lot
away
of times
for a while.
Pull the card out.
Yeah.
Wait 10 minutes. And pull
I'll wait until I go back and I'll do it up there.
Well, you can do it here.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care.
You've gone native.
I don't care. I've only got 2 weeks. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You
got it.
I can still watch Game of Thrones and I'm fine.
There you go.
You got your priorities worked out. First two episodes were amazing. We haven't watched the third episode yet.
Oh, Netflix sent me a thing about the increase in price.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah.
17 or something. I get 4K or something like that.
Well, did you see they've also started raising capital again?
Yes.
They're going to go like $2 billion in debt.
Right.
So that they can put it towards producing new content.
And their content so far, I think, has been good. They're self-made movies.
Is it $2 billion worth? Is it worth?
I watched one of their.
Well, actually, that's peanuts.
Well, it feels like they're trying to use venture capital to become a Marvel or a 20th century. Yeah. It feels like they're trying to build a
Fox
studio.
Didn't they buy Fox Studios?
And well, actually, Disney bought Fox.
Disney bought.
Yeah, Disney.
They're all competing now. It's going to be good.
Well, it's interesting. We've got, like we were saying a couple weeks ago, there's so many streaming services out there. I've gotten up to like 18 in my list. And that's 18 services that there is content on that service that you can't get from another service.
Right.
So I should say there's content or features that that is not on, there isn't one service that's going to cover everything those 18 will.
Right.
And so when you're looking at services that range between $7 to $40 a month, that gets really expensive.
Paying the same amount.
More than cable. I mean, that's what we're looking at, is more than cable, just to guarantee that you have access to all those pieces of content you were hoping for. No, it reminds me of how healthcare has been dealt with.
but did anybody go back and add up everything that you're paying for all your subscriptions?
You don't want to do that.
I know, but that's what we're talking about.
In my opinion, I think if they wanted to keep us all happy, we should start insisting and talking about this idea of one-offs, where like there's one show on that service I want, and you should have a price for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm a Netflix member for whatever there is, a Game of Thrones reruns or whatever that might be. These one-off prices so that you can add it to your collection of things you're watching.
Channels like that, like PBS. Is one, and CBS is another.
Well, and that was always kind of Apple's goal. When Steve Jobs passed away, that's really what he was talking about, is he was talking about apps as channels. And you would pay $1 a month for an app, and that would give you access to that.
Which is $1 rather than $5. But
yeah.
I will occasionally go through the direct TV movies in the 500 series.
Yeah.
I'll go through, there are 70 channels. And I will find maybe two movies I can record.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Mm-hmm. All of them are horrors or comedy.
Well, the other problem, too, is that they continually have the same ones available.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, they're going for 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, there's a really weird paradox going on. You go to Amazon, and it's the same things that have been there forever.
Yeah.
And you go to Netflix, and the thing you were watching last week is gone.
Yeah. It's like Costco.
That's great.
Yeah.
Costco will have a streaming service by the end of this meeting.
But you buy something there, you really like it, and you go back. And
that's right.
If you see something there you like, you get it.
Buy it.
That's right.
May be gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Living here hasn't taught anybody anything other than that. That's when you see it, you buy it.
Buy it. Yeah. Don't mess around.
No, don't wait, because it'll be gone.
I've been so conditioned, many times I'll buy two.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Yeah, the way Costco really works is if they don't sell out the entire stock at least a week before they pay the bill for the merchandise, then they never reorder.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Their total business is built primarily upon float of money.
Right.
Wow.
They demand when they started on the startup of it quite a bit with these guys. And basically, we want toothpaste. We don't care what size. We want it to be packaged about to sell at this price, not that size of the tube. And we demand 3-week payment terms.
Right.
If we don't have 3 weeks, we won't buy it.
Yeah.
They're done.
Huh.
And when they got big enough, they could demand that thing.
Yeah.
Even when they were small.
Even when they were small, they were able to
do that. 3 locations.
Wow.
That was their startup model.
Did they start out as FedMart? Many years ago,
that's
the old FedMart, federal employees.
Well, and then there were Pace,
Yeah, there was space. Yeah. Ted Mark first. Yeah.
Is that too much light for you?
She's blinded now, but we have three of the different models.
All right.
How's that?
And then all in the Denver area.
I don't want to take your breeze away, but I got to get the curtain out of my shot.
There's something about the white boat.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting because from the computer end, I knew more about their business plan than their employees.
Because
we had to, you know, the key item was their purchasing program. Interesting program.
And I've learned for sure that you see it by it.
That's right.
Yeah. And also, you know, the last digit means when they're closing out.
Oh, I did watch a YouTube video about that. Can you rattle that off?
I can't rattle them off, but if it's, you know, you'll see their normal number, but if it ends in like 8 or 7,
it's out of there.
It's out of there. Buy them all.
Yeah. Well, and then there's also there's keys for if it ends in a 09 versus a 99, and their employees can look at the price and know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, and
there's a good YouTube video on it. I can't remember the title of it, but I bet if you just YouTube Google or
Costco,
Costco pricing, you'd find somebody that's rolling out.
And if you want to,
every one of them.
It's been interesting the last year or two. Every time they have switched models, they've lowered the price on the old one. The new one has come in, and it's been $150 off. You know, for the new one and the old one, it's like, you know, they'll sell it for about $700 normally, and they'll mark it down to $550, even though it's a 9 kW generator that they currently are selling that way.
Are you saying this specifically about generators, or is this a rule for anything?
Yeah. I just happened to notice that because we and a couple other friends were watching when to buy one, and anyway, how about internet? VPN stuff.
VPN stuff. What do you got, Dave?
In the last 4 to 6 months, Microsoft has obviously done something to their software that when you are running a VPN, things work differently than when you are not running a VPN.
Hmm.
Particularly speed.
What?
Speed.
Well, you're not talking about the overhead of a VPN.
Not the overhead. Okay. Quicken. Hmm. Yeah. Quicken on the VPN was taking me as long as 2 minutes to log on.
Yes, sir. I don't have VPN. I don't have that problem.
But you're using the data online, I'm not.
Oh.
So, was saying I have nothing online?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I can do it in 5 seconds if I'm not in the VPN. But if I'm on the VPN, it's a minute, 2 minutes. I followed all their recommendations, everything else, and dropped to a minute.
Okay, same thing. Didn't mean to distract from the conversation.
Same thing with Outlook. Outlook was starting to give me errors where it wouldn't send. And then the next day it would work.
Huh.
And then it wouldn't work for a few days. Well, it's become very obvious. If I get rid of the VPN connection, which I can easily do by just switching which wireless connection I'm on, it'll send instantly. If I don't, it may work today, it may not work today.
Kind of like a husband.
And they've... Oh,
number two.
I'm actually writing that down. Like a husband.
As obvious, it's happened in the last 4 to 6 months with something from Microsoft.
This is turning into the comedy club.
I should have said.
And this is the VPN running on the router, not on my PC, so I can easily switch between the Telmex and my own and say which wireless connection do I want. My son was also saying try the wired Ethernet connection; it'll probably go away, but it doesn't.
Yeah, and you know, back in the day, that may have been your issue, but it doesn't feel like that's ever going to be the solution anymore. If you can plug a cable and problems go away, you've got a Wi-Fi problem that needs to be fixed. If the assumption is the Wi-Fi works just fine, then there's no reason to assume that you would get any better connection through it. You're really dealing with local problems. If changing to a cable versus Wi-Fi fixes your problem, you're dealing with a failing Wi-Fi adapter in your device, or a failing Wi-Fi modem, or a software in your device configured incorrectly with Wi-Fi. And so then a cable would fix it, but the nuances of the kind of problem you're describing, you wouldn't expect any difference
because
between those
theory,
two. Because
all you're doing is encrypting the data, which is one of the prime reasons for a VPN, and the same data is supposed to come out the other end, which I think in the case of Outlook, that's happening. But when you go to send an email, it's got to do something in reverse to get to the other server to send it.
This
it seems like the certification is where it's causing the grief.
I can't contribute to solving these problems, but I think I can contribute anecdotally to having the same kind of problems. Now, it hasn't been on Windows. I've been using that 1.1.1.1 app on my mobile devices, which now provides a VPN for free.
Really?
Yeah, and so it used to be that the VPN that it provided, and this is for Android and iOS. They don't have a version for Windows or Macintosh. So you're not able to use this app in the way Dave's using his computers with his own VPN. But what they changed is that before they had a VPN specifically for your DNS lookups, and that would encrypt the lookup so that there was nobody keeping track of the places you were going on the internet. That list of places you're going would only exist for that moment that you needed to look up CNN.com or Fox.com. Mm-hmm. It would only exist for that moment. They had a pledge on their side to eliminate it from their servers so it couldn't be asked for. And in transit, it couldn't be sniffed. It couldn't be snooped on. Now what they've done is they've made their VPN available for your data as well. And so when you turn that on your Android device or your iOS device, all your data is going across that VPN. But what I've noticed anecdotally is that I find myself throughout the day turning it off and turning it on to get access to data I'm having trouble getting access to. So maybe I'll bring up Reddit on my phone and it's spinning and it's spinning and it's spinning and it's just not coming up. So I go to 1.1.1 and I turn it off and it says 15 minutes until you turn it back on for an hour. And I'll pick one of those and watch the results, and it always fixes it. Huh. But anecdotally, I've also had experiences where I've had it off, and I can't bring up some data, and I go and turn it on, and that website appears. So I don't know what's going on with VPNs and the host operating systems for them. But I tend to feel like you're feeling with Windows. I think stuff like that is going on. I think that there is something happening in the operating system when it senses a different route it's going across.
Yeah. And for a few things, I've thought about using actually a host table.
To make your own list of places to go? Yeah.
What I mean by the hope, and people to realize. In Windows, there is a file at a kind of really weird location called host, not anything else, H-O-S-T-S. It's where you can eliminate doing DNS resolution because you just put the IP in there.
Well, maybe you should start by saying it's like your black book.
Yeah.
It's you keep it on your computer. You're not going out and asking for these numbers from servers. You've got it stored on your computer.
If you're always going to the same spot and they never change, which by the way, happens frequently because you expect it because they're trying to add extra servers and all sorts of things. But, you know, so businesses would sometimes use it for their own code to force it to eliminate doing DNS lookup.
Yeah. It made things, it made it easy to lock down local networks.
Mm-hmm.
We've come up with better ways to do it now, or at least easier to administer ways of doing it. But when you had a half a dozen computers and you wanted to control exactly where they could go on the internet, that was the easiest way to do it.
This is the prime use I always saw was the J.D. Edwards OneWorld product used it for certain things, pieces of it, so it would never have to go out to the internet.
Yeah.
Because it was used so frequently that saving their milliseconds on everything they're doing was important to them.
Well, I've really enjoyed using 1.1.1, and I think it has a lot of value that it's bringing. I have it installed in my Android TV. So, like, there's that that question of your traffic being monitored by your ISP when you're using things like Kodi or Streamio, or and this would guarantee at the very least your data is coming out of one of these Cloudflare nodes, and it at least can't be seen locally. It can't be seen by Telmex. Not that Telmex has ever made any of their decisions. Over the years, we can theorize all we want, but you've never been hit with a cease and desist from Telmex.
Right.
Telmex has never turned off your internet connection, and they can see where you're going unless you've taken steps like this. It's very possible for them to see where you're going and what sites you're using and what services you're using. And to their credit, they've never used that to control how you use the internet when they could. But still, I like the added security of it. I like the idea of the obscuring of the information. And sometimes it's genuinely faster. Sometimes I click it on and find a better performance experience by using it. Which is a whole discussion in itself, because it's an amazing way of doing technology, that 1.1.1 and the Cloudflare network. You know, the Cloudflare network is very similar to the way Netflix does things. They actually hire out servers in large areas, geographically located areas, so that it can bring content physically closer to you. And Netflix does this. It's very obvious what they're doing. You want to watch a movie and you're in Mexico and they've made that movie's rights available in Mexico, then you watch it from a Mexican Netflix server that's hosted in the Telmex data warehouse. Amazon does the same thing. In fact, it's one of their big businesses is AWS. It's Amazon Web Services. And they hire that service out to people that need to run businesses and run websites. And so they don't have to host any of that themselves. They just buy it from Amazon. And Amazon has distributed it all across the world physically, and physically located in your geographic areas. And Cloudflare competes directly with Amazon for that customer, doing exactly the same thing. They've got servers and data warehouses all over the world. They're called CDNs, Content Delivery Networks. So when you go to pull up a website and you're in Mexico, you don't have to go all the way to Spain or all the way to Europe to get that website. You only go as far as Telmex's data warehouse and you get the same website, because the website's hosted by Amazon or Cloudflare, and that's where they've put that copy of the website. They've got multiple copies all over the world so that it's easier for you to find these services.
Yeah. You know, I think many different things use that concept.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a distributed data network. That's what it is. It's not centralized.
If for nothing, for no other reason, backup.
So I would be interested in seeing deep inside the 1.1.1 network, because it doesn't... In Dave, your experience with a VPN, Chester, I know you've used a VPN quite a bit. When you're put out there on that connection, it's wherever you dropped onto the internet. Meaning if you had a VPN to Texas, everything comes at you like you were from Texas. Mm-hmm. If you had a VPN to California, everything comes at you like you're in California. Mm-hmm. On this 1.1.1, one is, did I say four ones?
Mm-hmm. Is it four ones or three?
It's four ones. Four ones.
Yeah.
When you use that app,
yeah,
it's dropping you out on a node on their content delivery network, but it always knows where I am. It does not affect things like geolocated weather reports or traffic reports.
So. Yeah. All of your information now is stored directly there.
Where?
They have all 1.1.1.1. They have all your sites that you've gone to.
Well, now that's interesting, because what they are guaranteeing as part of their thing,
right, they're
is
guaranteeing
that
they are not tracking you.
Right, they're not storing that
really?
Information. Yeah.
Really?
Well, one thing is clear. Telmex is,
right?
Yeah. Right?
Don't
Comcast
think that
is, right?
Is
yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think everyone is. Yeah. I think, well, Jody, I think a better way to look at it is, who are you more concerned about having that list in the end? Does it have more value to Cloudflare with me here in San Carlos, or does it have more value to Telmex with me here in San Carlos?
It depends on where Cloudflare is.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know where all this giant repository of everybody's information on Cloudflare is?
Yeah.
Who has access to it?
And you would the way that they've presented it is, and I'm sure security, I mean, I listened to a security expert named Steve Gibson, mm-hmm. who has vetted this and has all confidence that they're doing what they said they're going to do, that all their mechanisms are in place to protect your privacy. And I think that they offer this because they want their name out there. They want Cloudflare to be on the tongues of developers the same way AWS is. And I think this is their hook, is not only do we have content delivery networks everywhere, but we're very concerned about people's privacy and security. And so much so we're giving these tools away.
Is 4.1 dots any use in the States?
It's useful anywhere on the Internet. And if you go to the website 1.1.1.1, it will give you the whole laydown on what Cloudflare is doing and how the app works. And they've got some new thing that they're going to bring as well that they keep announcing to me, that I'm on the list to try it out as soon as it comes out. But the idea is some amplified performance that they can derive by connecting two websites in their manner instead of the traditional manner. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. That's kind of, Google has done something like that called AMP, where if you support AMP from your website, Google ingests your website in its own manner, and what you're basically doing is telling Google that it's okay for your people to access it in this other manner because it'll be a faster experience.
Are they doing multiple concurrent connections, basically, to speed it up?
Well, I think they've got their own protocol. I think they actually...
They'd be their own protocol, but doing multiple connections to do it.
I'm not sure how the protocol breaks down. Yeah. But I do know that you have to support a specific... I mean, it's all the way to the HTML level that AMP is supported. So when you write a website that supports AMP, you're writing to Google standards so that it can be supported. And I have no idea how Cloudflare plans on doing this. The things I've read talk as though they've got their own mechanism for hooking into these sites across the Internet. I imagine, if I just speculate, the first thing they're going to do is make all their content that they already deliver faster and easier mm-hmm. for their VPN users to have access to them. I mean, I imagine they can just flip a switch and do stuff like that.
It reminded me of another thing. Is it AWP app?
AWP.
I believe. Microsoft, when you...
The Progressive Web Apps? Is that what you're talking about?
I think it's a legitimate Microsoft app with the new design. And so every time you start up your PC, you get a quick little black screen that says updating AWP apps or something. UWP.
UWP would be, Universal Web, what does it stand? Universal Windows Platform, UWP. Yeah. Yeah, and I think they are trying to merge that with Progressive Web Apps so that that becomes an open standard, so that when you develop for the web, you're developing for Windows at the same time.
It just seems like, why do they flash this quick little black screen at you every time they start up?
I haven't run into that. What would give me that experience? What would I do?
Rebooting Windows 10.
Turn it on.
Well, you're just talking about the update?
Yeah. That updates it. You know, when I read, you can't get rid of it.
I'm not sure what it is, Dave.
It's the little black screen that, you know, it looks like it's trying to do an update on all the Microsoft stuff that you can't control yourself.
Well, I mean, to be clear, you can't control updates with Windows. So right off the bat, regardless of your visual experience, there is no control over Windows updates. They have you like this as far as that goes. I mean, hopefully we're moving into a generation where that's the way you want to be, where they, just these flows of updates coming into our lives are supposed to happen. In fact, actually, we've already experienced some of it where things get broken if you haven't gotten the update because of security issues. They've just said, until you have the update, you have no access to it. Some Windows things that you guys might not be aware of, they were talking about taking away paint. They've been talking about it for years. In fact, I don't know if you guys remember when they first showcased Windows 10, they showcased Paint 3D, saying this is replacing paint.
I have 3D.
And what's been interesting as you've followed the progress, there is so much hate for the idea of removing the paint app that when Windows 10 came out, it came with paint. When the update came out with Paint 3D, it was a separate app. It was going to replace paint. Yeah. And there was so much hate that they released it as a separate app, and you had to download it yourself.
You're saying I can go back and download Paint?
Paint should already be in your computer. If it wasn't there because of some update, it should be there now. It should be there.
I don't know what it does.
Paint? It's a poor man's Photoshop. But it's been in Windows since Windows 3.0.
It's a DOS.
I don't remember there being a DOS version of Paint, but it was one of the showcased applications when you went from DOS to Windows. Right. It was one of the examples that Microsoft would give of what you could do with Windows.
Did you ever hear the showcase thing when the IBM PC was announced? Basically, Jobs had said, elephants will fly before IBM comes out with a PC. So the original demonstration was a flying elephant.
I had not heard that story before.
That's great. My head was 8088s.
Yeah.
I souped it up.
I was doing the TRS-80 color computer at that point.
Yep.
And I souped it up, too.
How would I find Paint?
In Windows 10, you can find anything that you know the name of by hitting the Windows key and then starting to type the name. And it will show up in that search list that will come up.
Yeah. I think there was something to toggle some of those that you have to see, so you can see them in your regular list or something.
Well, when you find it, you can click on it with the right mouse button, and you can choose to pin it to the start menu or pin it to the taskbar so that you have
it. I think it was by group.
Geez, breakfast and a hit all in the same
time. All right.
Life is good.
Hey, what a deal.
Scott, how many classes we have left?
After today, we'll 14th. Have two more meetings.
He said the 14th.
Okay. Yeah, I think 14th is the last one. Are you out of here, Russ?
I'm out of here.
Bye.
And this is my last.
This is your last?
Yeah. Maybe forever.
I was just going to say, are you going to join the
office? What are we going to do without you here?
It won't be the same.
No.
I wanted to bring up the WinRAR. I'm sure Dave's familiar with WinRAR.
Yeah.
You guys have used it probably.
I have used it.
WinRAR.
Yeah.
It's a decompression program that's been around since the 90s.
Oh, Win.
Yeah, Win. Yeah. Well, WinRAR. There's WinZip you might be familiar with. Win or 7-Zip's another one in that same class. Well, WinRAR was one of the first open source. Well, was it open source? I don't remember. It was one of the first free decompression programs, and it became popular in the 90s. And a lot of people that haven't paid attention to these things changing have continued to download this program and use it for decompressing zip files. And RAR was a file format that if you kept backups in that, you'd still keep a copy of WinRAR around so you could open it up. But what's interesting is most recently, is they found a flaw in it that's been in it for the last 19 years. And it has made it possible, anybody that has this software installed, for a remote computer to access it and run codes on that computer. Well, the reason I only mention it to you, Chester, is because you might have or still be using WinRAR. And one of the problems is it was a great program that didn't require updates, didn't require registration. You could if you wanted to, but it was completely free. You could just download it and start using it. And if you were one of those people, you wouldn't know about this. They sent out to their email list, hey, you need to update the program. But if you never bothered to get a license code for it, even though it was free, if you didn't bother to get a license code for it, you wouldn't have any idea that this compromise exists. And they found out about this hole, or at least we found out about this hole, fairly recently, like at the beginning of the year. And since then, there's been hundreds and hundreds of exploits that have been put out there to take advantage of these people who are the perfect target audience because they represent people that aren't worried about updating and don't change a good thing when it's not broken. Why fix it? Yeah. And so they're just sitting out there like lambs to the slaughter. And so I wanted to mention it to our group just so you're aware of it.
If we're the lambs waiting to be slaughtered here.
Well, because you, one of you might be somebody using this piece of software, and there is a fix for it. So if you don't want to change what you're doing, and just go download the new version, and you're good.
And who discovered the flaw?
Some
14-year-old.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that. Yeah, some little kid.
I would say it was probably some 14-year-old. But probably back 10 years ago and has kept it to himself. I mean, what this really represents, it's no longer a zero day. A zero day exploit is one where it can be taken advantage right this moment. Nobody's aware of it and there is no fix for it. The moment that it is out, I mean, we're aware of it, they're starting to patch it. And so the theory is that as soon as it became aware that this was getting patched, they started dumping all these exploits out onto the internet because it's like picking up all this loose change right at the last minute before all these holes get closed. It's probably the only reason we're aware of it is because they're talking about how many of these exploits are showing up now. So WinRAR, WinRAR, you don't have to use it. Windows has its own compression program built into it since about Windows 7, and it's just gotten more robust. If you are using odd compression formats like TAR or 7 or ZIP, if you end up having to open one of those, I recommend 7-Zip. 7-Zip is open source. It's a great program. There's a toss-up of open source versus performance, but in the computers that we have right now, you don't notice the performance loss. You have to work with tens of gigabytes of data to notice any kind of performance loss. It's a great freebie. It's updated regularly. Every time there's a security problem, it's fixed. I really like it. 7-Zip.
What's the Windows program called?
I think it's just compression. I don't think you run across it until you're trying to open a compressed file. So if you have a .zip file on your hard drive and you haven't installed a compression program, then Windows will just present you with it.
Well, I think the program I have installed is WinZip.
Yeah.
Right.
I think WinZip is what I paid for it. I think I have that installed.
Yeah. But it's not necessary. It's not necessary because Windows, since about Windows 7, has included its own version.
So if you get a zip file, which I don't, and I can't open them normally with my Mac.
And you can't use 7-Zip on a Mac, I don't think.
I was just looking at it to see.
Yeah, I don't think 7-Zip is available on a Mac.
The only time you get a zip file is when a new program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just says it's Windows download.
But, you know, it's... There is a site I use often.
It works. No, it doesn't. I don't think.
There is a site I use often called alternative2.net, and we can put in 7-zip in the search, and it should give us a result of other programs that are an alternative to 7-zip, and we can sort it by platform.
What did you say? Alternative?
Yeah. Alternative2. .net. T-O.
Oh, T-O.
And WinRAR is the first one that... No, actually, PZIP is the first one that pops up. WinRAR is the second one that pops up as an alternative to 7-zip. PZIP, not available on Mac. WinRAR is available on Mac. In fact, that's why I still have a copy of WinRAR. Gosh, I cannot remember what I'm using on my Macs.
It doesn't happen very often.
Well, and Mac has its disk utility, which will open stuff. Here we go, for all platforms. No, we want for Macintosh desktop platform. WinRAR is number one. So this compromise is probably a greater concern to Mac users. It's making me realize I need to go to my Mac and make sure that copy is updated, because I'm probably not using anything but that on my Macintosh. Oh, there is a WinZip version for Mac, but again, you have to pay for that.
It's not cheap, if I remember.
Yeah, I don't remember it being cheap either, for what it is. Yeah. It seems fairly expensive for what it is. Let me do a search for open source alternatives. Keka? Couldn't recommend any of the things showing up here. Stuffit used to be the one on Mac.
And you're looking at what?
I'm looking at alternative2.net, and I've written in 7-zip.
Oh, okay, 7-zip.
And the whole point of alternative2.net is for you to put in the name of a software you're interested in and see what comparable softwares. And you can organize it. See, this is interesting. This is a topic I didn't even mean to come in here and talk about. You can organize it by platform, so you can say Macintosh or Windows or iOS or Android, and you can also organize it by license type, whether it's free, whether it's paid, whether it's open source. And so alternative2.net has been very helpful for me at times when somebody's updated a computer and they're like, but I still need a copy of, and they don't make that copy anymore. And so we go to alternative2.net and look up something that would work in its place.
I see BandyZip.
Never heard of it. Anything under Mac, I've never heard of there except WinRAR.
The Unarchiver.
I actually think I've heard of that
Unarchiver.
One.
Unarchiver.
Unarchiver. There was a time in the Mac world, and Stuffit was the same way. There was an Archiver, and there was a Stuffit. And that was to zip things up. And then if you wanted to open them, you had to download another program. Okay. That would be an Unstuffit. And an Unarchiver.
Interesting.
So anyway, I thought I'd mention that because there might be some... Yeah, I have discovered I am using this software just because of the Macintosh side of things. I got some other stuff here if you're interested in. A quick list. I think probably two of them you might be... These are... Android apps that should be removed right this moment from your phone. And I wouldn't write it down unless you think you've installed it. Selfie camera, I think, is a good possibility. Somebody in this crowd may have downloaded and installed this at one point.
I think I
What is it?
It's called the Selfie Camera.
Selfie Camera.
Total Cleaner. Smart Cooler. RAM Master. AIO flashlight, that's all-in-one flashlight. Oh. Omni cleaner. Wawa Yaya. I have no idea what that is.
What a name.
Emoji flashlight. And this is the other one I think some people might have installed in this crowd. Samsung TV remote control from Peel Technologies.
And what's wrong with all these?
All of these are tracking you without permission, and they're doing it maliciously. Yeah.
Weren't these all
these were
the same developer in China?
No.
There's another list like that going around, too, I saw.
Well, I...
Yeah, I got that one.
So they, well, what I should say is they don't list in the Google Store as being from different developers. But what you're saying rings true. I think what we discovered was there was a whole slew of developers that are actually the same developer. And they're all from China. And they. So I thought, when I looked at this list, I thought there's a lot of things here I knew none of us would have installed. But a flashlight app, you don't need a flashlight app. So if you have ever downloaded a flashlight app, you should uninstall it. Because the flashlight is included on your phone. If you have a phone that doesn't include a flashlight, what you really have is the potential for a device stealing your information because you're so far behind the curve. You don't have any of the new security features. And for $70, you can buy a much better phone than that phone. Your phone you own should have a flashlight. It's an indicator of how sophisticated your device is if it doesn't.
So if someone buying a phone, so if someone was interested in buying an iPhone but didn't want to pay the giant bucks to have one.
You've just described everybody.
I know, but where would they go?
Where they go to Android because they don't have any choice.
No, they don't want to.
They don't, well, that's their only option.
Okay. So there is no...
There's nothing.
Okay.
And there's I want the last model rather than the current model.
Well, see, that's above their price point as well.
That's the problem, is we all want iPhones, but we all want them at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
And when you start looking at what's in an iPhone, you can get all that at least half the price, even cheaper, in the Android world.
Right.
If someone had an Android phone down here and wanted to get a service to the U.S. and Mexico, and possibly worldwide, where would you go here? AT&T?
Verizon. I have an AT&T phone. This one was probably, I'm guessing, about $350, maybe, which includes 2 years unlimited service for all three countries.
From down here?
From down here.
Verizon gives you North America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Verizon because it has better coverage than what AT&T does.
Okay.
But I get a better price because I have DirecTV, so I don't have direct.
Yeah.
I'm going
Verizon
to
coverage in the U.S.
Big Bird?
It's better in the U.S., I think. Right?
Well, that's what I'm talking AT&T. About. In the motorhome, I found that Jen has AT&T and I have Verizon. A lot of times I could get service she can't.
She can.
In a motorhome.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy. Verizon has great coverage in the lower continental United States.
And
West. In Alaska, it's really spotty. They have to go through a relationship with GCI, and it's hit or miss. It depends on the plan, depends on the radios in your phone.
Well, Verizon's not GSM.
Right, that's my
the
point.
What is GSM? You
know, well, it is GSM now as well.
They have both.
They have both, that's right.
Traditionally, we're not a GSM network. There's
what
basically
is GSM?
Three types of networks of phones. GSM, TDSM, is it? TDS something, you know, which is Verizon. And then the Japanese network, which is totally different than everything.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you're talking about Verizon's network, it's CDMA.
CDMA, yeah.
Yeah, and the Japanese network, I don't know what their protocol is called, but it's Docomo.
GSM phones are basically good worldwide, except Japan.
Yeah, what happened back when cell phones were just starting out?
You mean, can you hear me?
You remember all those Verizon commercials where they were pumping up their security?
Yeah.
You have a whole network of security experts behind you. What that really was referring to was CDMA.
Yeah, CDMA.
which is a very secure encrypted mechanism for communicating wirelessly. GSM has been adopted throughout the world, and in the United States there was this drive for security in Wi-Fi and wireless, and that's where Verizon made its market share, was selling that concept. The problem is it wasn't used everywhere else. Everywhere else, GSM, because it was cheaper, it was easier to roll out.
If you travel, you really want a GSM phone where you could buy a SIM locally for $5 or $10 and make lots of phone calls back to the U.S.
That's how I'm going to China.
Yes.
At least so have I could a GSM buy a SIM phone. Card there, stick it in, and go with it.
Man, if I was going to China, I'd get a Chinese phone while I was there. I would not take your American phone and put it on that network. I would get a phone, a real cheap one unless you got the money you want to bring back, a genuine Chinese knockoff, whatever. But I would not put my personal device onto their cell network.
Okay.
Because I just from a security standpoint,
so
I wouldn't.
Go there and buy a cheapie.
Buy a cheap one with service and use it the whole time you're there.
Yeah.
I hope you're going to Agra.
Agra? No, that's
in
India.
That's India.
India.
She's going to China.
I'm sorry.
I suspect they would do the same thing to the Chinese phones that come over here with Chinese citizens. I bet our data networks suck up everything out of their phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then just leave it when you leave.
Yeah. Or bring it back to show the computer club.
Yeah. As a minimum, you buy a SIM card and use it dedicated there.
But I would be... I'm a believer that we're all being tracked all the time. There's nothing we can do about it.
I'm sure of it.
At the same time, I think you should minimize your footprint as much as possible. And to me, that's like drinking the water down here. Like, why would you take that risk? There's plenty of purified water. Why would you drink it out of the tap? I don't know any Mexicans that drink it out of the tap. Why are you drinking it out of the tap? It's the delivery infrastructure you need to be concerned about. It's the dead horse that's fallen across the leaking pipe that goes to your house that you need to be worried about.
All the sewer and the water in the same ditch.
Yeah. All right, Robin, I appreciate that. There's not one Mexican that tells me that story.
Really?
Not one. I do not know a Mexican that drinks the water out of the tap.
Even when I tell the workers,
many
the
times
water is
with a kid
whole
I
house
had when we had
they
the
still they don't believe it.
Yeah. And it's always been chlorinated.
Yeah, the people that tell me these stories, they're gringos that came down here to live. They are not Mexicans.
And what's wrong with them?
I'm telling you, we get sick. Sometimes it's from the water. The Mexicans won't risk it. That's what I'm saying. And that's how I feel about us being tracked. I don't think there's a whole lot you can do about it, but you should try and do some things. You should minimize your exposure to these problems as much as you can.
Or I think if you travel a lot, the opposite. You know, give yourself some bugs because you're going to get different ones when you travel in different locations. And so you develop a natural immunity.
I think I might just ignore the whole thing and not.
But if you travel a lot.
I appreciate your point, Robin. I am not chastising you at all. I'm just saying you're playing with fire.
Not a good idea.
You're playing with fire. Hey, and I'm very impressed. I think I would be much more concerned if I was in your shoes.
You know, if you check it and it's chlorinated, what's wrong with chlorinated water?
Yep.
Well, that's the first issue. There is something wrong with chlorinated water, but...
Oh, that's a whole different discussion.
That's a different thing.
I mean, if we're in a zombie apocalypse, I don't know. Pool water can be considered safer to drink than infrastructure water. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Depends if kids have been in the pool.
Right, you can boil a lot of stuff away. You can't boil chlorine away. I don't think so. I think it deposits in the water.
You know, there's a place in Alaska down on
the
highway.
The sun.
Yeah.
You get the good water.
You get the good
water.
Yeah.
Do you go there and get water?
Oh, I drink tap water all the time in Alaska. Yeah, it's beautiful water.
thing coming.
They have moose dying and stuff.
But the goats are.
Yeah, moose.
I don't know if I drank it right off of the mountain.
Yeah,
I mean, I have when I was a kid. I don't know if I'd do it now.
Yeah, I never want to drink stream water.
But I would take mountain run water and I would boil it and drink it. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Right.
We used to go and get water sometimes.
I got to go.
On that note, well, I hope we see you again.
I hope so.
Yeah, come back.
I hope you.
I won't know at the end of the day whether she sold her house or not.
Hey, Chester, I can't let you go before I bring up this topic that I've been wanting to bring up for the last few weeks that I just thought was really cool, and it's anti-Wi-Fi paint. They have come up. I think this is really cool. They have come up with a paint. Watch it come out in the next year or so that you can paint on walls to block the Wi-Fi signals.
So your signal wouldn't go out.
Out of the house or in the house.
Wow.
I think this is going to be an amazing product.
What does it do to your Wi-Fi reception, though?
Well, painted on the inside walls, you've got problems.
That's what that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that this is a security feature, and you can paint it on your house to guarantee your Wi-Fi stays inside your house.
The outside of the house.
Chemicals or whatever they're using in that. It's mineral based.
It's aluminum iron oxide, and I didn't remember that. I have a note here to say what it is.
Does it exude?
Say anything about that, but I believe that we've used this kind of stuff in other processes in the past. Yeah. See, I don't think aluminum iron oxide is an unusual chemical for us to be using.
Paints.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're all aluminum.
It's not like leaded paint.
Yeah, and it's also very expensive.
The metallic paints.
It is.
Talking about. They're aluminum oxide.
You paint a house.
I spent 2 years doing color matching.
But I wanted to mention it. I thought you could appreciate it. I thought we could all appreciate this concept.
It is a good concept. Yeah. Make us all stealth.
Right?
Stealth homes.
Well, people ask me, how do you keep your... Because we still... Wi-Fi can be compromised. Oh, and we haven't come up with a way yet. With the most recent compromises, there is no technology so far. If you've got enough knowledge and power, you can take over somebody's Wi-Fi network. So the best security against it is keeping it from leaking
signal,
out too far.
Controlling the signal. Yeah.
And so people ask me all the time to dial down their Wi-Fi in their house, get into the router and give it less power so it won't bleed outside the house. This is a very interesting way to approach this problem. Yeah. And you can bet it'll start being used on government facilities so that they can control all that.
Particularly. Hope to see you all next year.
We'll see you next year, Chester.
Bye, Chester.
Maybe, good trip.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Well, you'll at least come for a visit.
You'll
come on a Tuesday to visit.
Yes.
Bye.
Adios. See you, Chester.
Wow.
But even if you have a good contract, it still may fail.
Yeah.
What's that?
Even if you have a good house selling contract, it still may fail.
What might fail?
The contract.
Oh, you're talking about Chester's. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, what?
Chester's going to be gone, maybe.
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 It's amazing. Hard to imagine.
It is. You're just saying that.
He's a fixture.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, okay. I guess two more is coming up.
Well, I'm expecting DirecTV to clamp down again because people have been using the stupid blogs to say how to do things, and that's exactly how they clamped down last time.
Pardon me. Hey, you know, I wanted to mention one thing. A few weeks ago, I mentioned US TV
247.com,
and I also mentioned that I got that information off of a YouTube video that was telling us how to use it on a Fire Stick. And I got the opportunity to help Russ do that with his Fire Stick, and it was insanely easy, and it worked dead on. It was very easy to do. You do have to install a web browser in the Fire Stick. The web browser is called Silk. It's provided by Amazon. It's Amazon. Just like Microsoft has Edge and Google has Chrome, Amazon has Silk. And the Silk browser, we put in the web address and away we went. And he's able to watch the news. I recommend that he get a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse because it is a web browser. It'd be easier with a keyboard and mouse, but the Fire Stick remote control, one of the real benefits of it is how easy it is to maneuver with. So it's a real doable thing. This is the streaming channels that you might find on a cable subscription. You can do through a website, ustv247.com.
Okay.
And
I think
I
you said that before one time.
Yeah. I had, but what I didn't have was the experience
of doing it
on an Amazon Fire TV stick.
Okay.
And Russ had me come over and help him sort out how to do it. And it requires downloading the Amazon web browser, which is called Silk.
Silk.
Silk, yeah, S-L-I-K, just like the material.
You mean slick? S-I-L-K.
That, you spelled slick.
I didn't mean to. I meant to spell silk.
S-I-L-K.
Damn it. Damn it, now I got to look it up because I'm a horrible speller. I'm gonna Google it real quick. I'm going to Google Amazon real quick. Amazon. Silk. Damn it. Yes, it is. Silk browser. S-I-L-K.
Right, like silk.
And what you would do on your Amazon TV stick is you would go to the magnifying glass and you click that and it would bring up a search field and you would type in S-I-L-K and it would show up as an downloadable, installable application. Hmm. You install that, start that, and then you type in the web address, ustv247.com, and it presents you with that website, and then you can use the remote control to scroll through it and click on which channel you want to start streaming. And it worked really well on the Fire Stick.
So I won't have to throw myself at Chava anymore.
Well, one of you know, one of the things that I didn't realize when I brought this topic up before is that there's a lot of people using Scott Bailey's thing. Scott Bailey's recommending the Amazon Fire Stick for that radiosity. And one of the frustrations is when it goes down because it's kind of a questionable service. Well, this is a great alternative. If you're in the middle of watching some channel and it goes down, you could switch over to this and try using this as an alternative. With that being said, and us being at 10:25 a.m., we will shut this meeting down and say goodbye until next Tuesday. We have two more meetings. The last meeting we'll have before I go to Alaska will be on the 14th. And until then, everybody, tech on.
I have a question.
Well, you didn't save it for the meeting. No, that's all right. What's your question?
For some odd reason, today I'm on my internet and I'm looking at my things that are being downloaded, conversations and so on. And all of a sudden, they disappeared, the 19th, the emails. There's stuff there from 18.
But your 2019 is not there.
No, I don't know what happened. I was like on there doing stuff, and then all of a sudden, boom. I don't know where, I went to the delete file, and I went to the, what is it, the other file that, can't remember the name of it now. And I didn't see anything there either. What happened?
But this is in your email program?
Yeah.
And what are you using for email?
Whatchamacallit that he was talking about before.
Gmail?
Are you doing it through a web browser? Or are you doing it with... Okay, so you're bringing up like Chrome.
Well, I don't use Chrome.
You use Firefox?
I can use Firefox.
Okay. Are you actually using Internet Explorer?
Yes.
Or Edge?
Yes. Edge.
Okay. So, first of all, what that means is that whatever is going on with your experience, it's happening over on their server. It's not happening on your computer.
Okay.
So your experience should be the same regardless of what computer you go to.
Okay.
And then because you're talking about dates, I'm wondering if maybe you changed your sort order.
I didn't think about that. Accidentally.
Just accidentally, yes. like just the mouse went across the headers and you inadvertently sorted.
I'll take a look at that.
And if you did that on mine, it would be so obvious because I've got email in Hotmail and Google that go back to, you know, 2009, 2010. Yeah. But maybe you've kept your email clean, or at least up to...
I have a lot of it, yeah.
So maybe you don't have anything more than back to 2018.
I didn't look any further. I just, all of a sudden, I just noticed it. What happened to those things?
Yeah, you may have just reversed your ascending-descending order of date.
I'll look at that. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'll take a look at that.
And is it Outlook you're using?
Yeah,
or is it
Outlook.
It's Outlook? Okay. It's Outlook. Yeah, because that's definitely a feature of Outlook.
Yeah.
And another feature in Outlook is this focused inbox.
Focus inbox. I don't know that.
And so in Outlook, right at the top where you would look for something like this date sorting, you should see something that says inbox and other.
Okay.
And other is anything that's not consistent with the way you communicate, and they use some sort of AI to determine that.
Okay.
But what I've discovered with Outlook is if you turn it on other, it may stay on other until you put it back to inbox.
Okay.
And so you might just, if you see something that says other and it's highlighted, next to it should
be
something. It's on. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And so next to it should be the other option, which I think says inbox.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, I think you do inadvertently, when you're scrolling around or whatever, hit something.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. It's such a common thing to do.
Yeah. Okay, I'll check that. Thanks.
Well, and if you want to hang out, I'm curious enough, I'm going to bring it up here.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a look at it.
Let me go to Outlook.com. Oh, I can shut off these streamers. Hey, if you're still listening, you should have hung up by now because I'm hanging up. Goodbye.